Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
It is time for some thoughtful application. I'm referring to the text we've been looking at most recently in 1 Peter chapter 4, namely verses 7 and 8 that tell us how to maintain a vital relationship with Jesus Christ in the midst of a sinful world. And you will recall that Peter suggests three things that we need to keep before us, keep focused upon, and keep acting in regard to if we're going to maintain a warm heart toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, number one, keep your eyes upon the second coming. Number two, keep your knees bent in fervent prayer. And number three, keep your heart warm toward others. And that is the summary of 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, having examined these two verses and these three areas of focus, it is time for us today to think about some of the practical applications. And so, to that end, please continue joining us on this Wednesday, April 16. And please help us as you can financially so that we may be able to continue teaching God's Word on this station. All right, what do we learn? Well, we learn, number one, that we are commanded to forgive one another. Love covers a multitude of sins, and that requires our willingness to forgive others their trespasses, exactly as Jesus taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, which probably better is translated, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It isn't our financial debts that we're talking about. It is our sin debts. Forgive us our debt of sin toward you, O Lord, as we forgive the debt of sin that others incur toward us. And so we are commanded to forgive one another. That's what love requires, and love covers a multitude of sins, and that comes about by forgiveness. And furthermore, we are taught in the Word of God that lack of forgiveness seriously hinders our relationship with God. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses, said Jesus. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's a text that's worth chewing on, and I don't want to get into that text except just to pick the most obvious meaning off the surface of it, namely that our inability to forgive others or unwillingness to forgive others seriously hinders our relationship with God. That much is very clear. The question might arise, well, what if the person who has offended me does not seek forgiveness? Well, I must say, if they do, you have no option. If they do, our only option is to forgive. That is a teaching of Luke chapter 17. You do not have the option of withholding forgiveness. And I've seen many Christians do this, or at least some Christians do this, that is, withhold forgiveness, but we can't do that. We read in Luke 17:1 that he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come, It would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck, and he were thrown into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Indeed. Indeed. If somebody sins against me 7 times in a day and comes each of those 7 times and says, I repent, please forgive me, I think by about the 3rd or 4th time, I'd be very inclined to say, get out of here. You hypocrite, you don't mean it. But Jesus says that's not an option. If he comes and asks for forgiveness, there is only one appropriate response. I forgive you. That's the only thing we can do, and please the Lord. So if a person asks forgiveness, our only option is to forgive them. But if they do not ask forgiveness, then what? And that's really, I think, the more difficult situation. After all, someone might say, does God forgive those who do not repent? Does God forgive those who do not seek his forgiveness? Well, he reminds us of our need to seek forgiveness of others when we are wrong. But we need to remember our sinfulness and treat others with proper Christ-like humility, acknowledging our own blindness. There are times, surely you understand, when you have sinned against God and others and have not realized it. What if God was unwilling to forgive you in those situations? What if others were unwilling to forgive you in those situations? What a mess this world would be in. What a strained place the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would be, a local church would be, if this is the kind of thing that were going on. We need to be eager to address offenses, even if relatively minor, and seek understanding. And our posture needs to always be one that is ready to forgive. In other words, we maintain a forgiving heart at all times. It may be true that there is a sense in which you can't forgive a person who doesn't ask you to forgive them, but there's a difference between not forgiving them because technically they haven't asked you, and treating them like they are an enemy. That's what we cannot do. We have to have a posture of ready forgiveness at all times. We need to maintain a forgiving heart. It might help us to think about it this way. We have to forgive our brother his trespasses in our relationship with God, or we're in trouble with him. In other words, we can't hold a grudge. We can't seek revenge. We can't hold this sin over him. We can't maintain that kind of posture and have a right relationship with God. As far as our posture toward God is concerned, we have forgiven. We do forgive. We must forgive. We have forgiven. That has to be our posture toward God, and that has to be our attitude toward our brother. It's like we're standing there with open arms, waiting to forgive and embrace, longing for the opportunity to do so. That's the attitude. Like the father of the prodigal son, who longed for his son to come home and longed for the opportunity to forgive and embrace him. He wasn't sitting around harboring a grudge against his son who had gone away and wasted all of his substance and riotous living, but rather he was standing with his arms stretched out wide, looking down the road, hoping his son would come and seek his forgiveness. And that's the attitude that he maintained toward his prodigal son. That's the attitude that we must have toward that brother who has sinned against us. Now, it is generally our responsibility to approach the offender and gently remind him of the offense. Gently. It's all how we do it. Sometimes people get in this confrontation mode. Well, I confronted him. After all, that's what Jesus says, right? Rebuke him. Back to Luke chapter 17. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Well, yes, that's exactly what we must do. But everything else in the scripture makes it clear to us that our attitude needs to be a gentle one, a kind one, a non-threatening one. This rebuke doesn't mean that we go at him with a club in hand. Let me tell you what you did wrong. I'm here to rebuke you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to repent. That's not the proper attitude, but it is our responsibility to go to the person and gently remind them of their responsibility, remind them of their offense. And what often happens in this situation is that the other person says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that I have done that, or I didn't realize that it had that effect upon you. And oftentimes in the conversation that follows, there will be some clarification that will even change the picture somewhat in our own mind. You know, we are all sons of Adam, and we all have our blind spots and our own particular takes on things and perspectives, and none of us are infallible. Only God is. And sometimes we view an offense more seriously than it really was and tend to magnify it, and the offender oftentimes is not even aware of it. And that's one reason why it is our responsibility to go and to tell him his fault between you and him alone, as Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 18. But it's clear from the scripture that we cannot carry a grudge when we have been wronged. That is forbidden under every circumstance. We must fervently strengthen ourselves in love to minister to the welfare of others. That is the Christian's duty, to love one another, to work at cultivating and developing a greater love one toward another. That's what we must be doing if we are to please the Lord, and if the body of Christ is going to have the effect upon the world that it's supposed to have. Because after all, what did Jesus say? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Well, how does the world know that we have love one for another? When they see it in our actions and our attitudes. And the problem is, so many times, that's not what they see. They don't see our love one toward another. They see our arguing one with another, our wrangling one with another, our splitting one from another, our dividing one from another, our warring one with another. It's no wonder that many unconverted people have serious suspicions about the church, about the Christian faith, at least as it is represented to them by the Christians they know. We better take another look at this and think very long and hard about what's wrong. And that's exactly what Peter is telling us here when he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.